Let us pray. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sin by his blood, to him be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. God's word comes to us in the Holy Gospel, Mark, the first chapter, all the way down at the 11th verse. And a voice came from heaven, saying to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. There are some things that become indelibly marked on our memory, and they never go away. I can replay in my head the exact moment I found out that the Challenger blew up. Remember, it lifted off, it had the first teacher to go into outer space. It cleared the gantry, they powered it up all the way, and it exploded. I was on Vicarage. I was coming through the school gymnasium, and I saw people crowded around a television set. And I went over to see what they were watching. And they played it over and over again, and I sat there stunned. I'll never forget that. The other one I'll never forget that's kind of indelibly marked for me is where I was and what I was doing on 9/11. We had some Bible studies that met in people's homes, and I had gone to a home. This Bible study met fairly early in the morning, and I went to their house, to their apartment actually. They lived in a condo, and they had the television on. And when I arrived, you could see smoke coming out of one of the World Trade Center towers. Said it had been hit by an airplane. Well, I didn't think much about that at first. It looked like a small hole. Now, some were saying an airliner hit it. I said it couldn't have been. Not to make that hole. And as we were sitting there watching it and listening to the commentary, I saw the next plane fly in two. The other tower. That little image just plays over and over again in my head. They caught it right there on the news. It flew right into that tower. And eventually, of course, the towers collapsed. All of us at that Bible study simply watched that in silence and in disbelief. And then we heard one had hit the Pentagon. And then, living in Pittsburgh, alarms started going off. There was one headed for Pittsburgh, they said. And Pittsburgh needed to be evacuated. Of course, it wasn't going to Pittsburgh. The passengers had taken over the plane and forced it down in Somerset County. But for a while there, people were fleeing Pittsburgh. Maybe you remember when John F. Kennedy was shot. Maybe you remember Martin Luther King's assassination, the day it was televised, broadcast. Maybe some of you still remember the bombing of Pearl Harbor and what you were doing that day. It seems that so many negative things get burned into our memory, but there should be positive things burned in there too. I remember proposing to Sharon. It was on a playground. My stepson was having his field day at his school. I bought the ring the night before, and I just couldn't help myself. I had planned a nice romantic dinner and all this kind of stuff, and I just kind of blurted it out. "Want to get married?" I'll never forget. I guess that was a good, bad one. She said, yes. Yes, obviously. But I remember that. I can hear the crunch of the gravel under our feet, the heat of the day. I remember my sons being born, Joshua and Christopher. I was one of those dads who took the Lamaze classes, and I was in there to catch the babies and hold them for the first time and put them in that water bath thingy and you know, kind of clean them off and all this kind of stuff. I'll never forget gazing on those little pointy heads. That's going to be with me forever. Many of you don't remember this. I do, because I was baptized later in life. I was baptized when I was about 8 years old. That's when we joined the Lutheran Church. But I remember the day at a baptismal font when I heard God say, "I love you. I forgive you all your sin. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And though this wasn't audible, it was also said at this time, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." I was able to remember that as I was baptized older. Those of you who are baptized infants don't remember it. Maybe there are people who are still around who remember it. But you know those words were spoken. You know you are now a son or daughter of God and forgiven and loved. Today we took a look at Jesus' baptism. And everything I said to the kids is true. In baptism, God took something from us, our sin, our guilt, His wrath. And he placed them on Jesus so Jesus could suffer and die as our Savior. So that at a baptismal font, God could lay on us forgiveness, love, eternal life, faith, and all the blessings that Jesus brought by his life and death and resurrection. Do you remember the last time you have heard Jesus say, "I love you"? And again, with the kids, when the absolution was announced, Jesus was saying, "I love you." God was saying, "I love you. I forgive you." That is God's motivation. He loves us. You might say, why? Because he chooses to. He wants to, and yes, quite often, in spite of ourselves. But you heard it once again today, "I love you." During your devotions at home, many times you will come across passages where God once again says, "I forgive you. I love you. You are mine because of Christ." In a moment, you will come forward to receive the body and blood of Christ, the same body and blood he gave on the cross in suffering and death, the same body that rose from the dead, you will receive for the forgiveness of your sins. And yes, you will hear in your mind, I hope, "I love you. I love you." We need to remember our baptisms and the times that God says that he loves us. It's so easy to forget that today. Love is often something that's for sale. Now, I'm not talking about the world's oldest profession, but if you use the right face cream, if you're a woman, or you drive the right sports car, if you are a man, people will love you and think the world of you. If you have enough money, if you live in a nice house, if this, if that. And of course, all of those things are so easy to lose. Money goes. Cars get old and break down. Looks, well, ugly is relative. Depends on who your relatives are, huh? Sorry about that. That's not in the text. And often we can transfer that kind of thought onto God, and we're afraid. It's not awe. It's not reverence. It's scared. We can often see God as a giant authority figure, someone with a ruler who is just waiting to catch us doing something wrong so he can smack us upside the head, or perhaps worse. That God somehow delights in seeing our sin because he also delights in our punishment. When I was in high school, and you know, high school teachers wouldn't get away with this today, one of my science teachers had built what he called a zapper. Now, essentially, it was a low-powered stun gun or a cattle prod. It looked more like a cattle prod. But he would walk around the room as he was teaching, and if you were dozing, you were brought back to consciousness very rudely by a tap from this thing. And he got away with that. Many see people God is just like that. He's just waiting to hit you with a zapper. When in reality, it is much different. God is watching over you in love, in compassion, in concern. Yes, when we sin, God calls us back. Sometimes he does need to bring discipline into our lives in order for us to get the hint to bring us back. We can take all of that sin in our lives, all that weighs on our conscience and on our heart, right to the altar. And just as he did before, he'll do again. He takes them away. And instead of laying on wrath and punishment, he lays on love, forgiveness, and peace, and hope. And once again, we can face the day knowing that we are in the hands of our loving God. Remember these times of forgiveness. And also ask, because God is always willing to forgive when we come to him in repentance, to free us, and always, always to love us, even in spite of ourselves. The greatest demonstration of that is your baptism. If you remember it, great. If not, dig out your baptismal certificate, bound to have it, and read there. You are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God said, he loves you.